from the beginning, the minute that anyone reposted us or anyone sent us any photos or anything UGC, we reposted that. Like, if you go look at our Instagram, it's all organic. With that, I think without even knowing it, we started really leaning into that whole idea of micro influencers that everyone's trying to do right now. We just didn't really know that that's what we were doing at the time.
I'm Jim Huffman, and this is If I Was Starting Today, a collection of conversations about half-baked startup ideas, growth tactics, and stories from founders, including my own journey as a business owner. All of the content is centered around one question: what would you do if you were starting today? Today on the podcast, I have the CEO of Fat Boy Surf Club, Ryan Rock. And we talk about his iconic surf brand and how it started during the pandemic as a joke. And then it got very real as it went on the path of becoming a high six-figure Shopify success story in just a couple of years. This episode's fun. We dive into, you know, how having the word club in the brand name actually was an amazing thing for building community. He also talks about how making a naturally viral product with the name and with the content on the shirts can be the best thing you can do for marketing. He also shares with how he creates a content machine with his Instagram account, which has been huge for building up those early adopters and people loyal to the brand. We also get into the details of the pivotal moment of when he decided to go all in on this crazy idea of a surf brand. So whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur or just love a great startup story, this episode offers some fun insights, tactics, and creativity in an unexpected way with this fun brand. So really hope you enjoy this episode with Ryan. All right, so Ryan, we're sitting here. You're wearing a hat that says Fat Boy Surf Club, but it was brought to my attention that this started as just one big joke that went a little farther than you thought. Give me background on that.
Yeah, 100%. We didn't set out and say, hey, let's start an e-commerce business. We basically, back here in Los Angeles, back in 2020, they closed down all the beaches unless you were doing activities. So, you know, my two business partners that I do it with now, they're from Chicago originally, but had been living out here for 5-6 years, you know, never had any interest in learning how to surf until you weren't allowed to go to the beach without doing that. So, you know, I was furloughed at the time. These guys were coming over every day and borrowing old wetsuits and boards and everything. And our one buddy just couldn't get over the fact of how unflattering it was in a wetsuit and made the jokes. Jokes continued over some breakfast burritos later and then getting some garage beers later on, and decided, let's get some shirts made. Made the first logo and everything. And the original idea was like, oh, when, you know, everything opens back up, we're going to go to the bars all wearing Fat Boy Surf Club shirts. And that's kind of what it was. But like I said, I was furloughed at the time, had a lot of time on my hands. I think that right after that, I had gotten COVID like 1.0 when you weren't allowed to leave your house for 14 days. So a lot of time on my hands. Started the free Shopify free trial and got the first t-shirts made. And then, you know, the first t-shirts paid for the second t-shirts, which then paid for the third, like started the Instagram, all that. So kind of just started organically taking off from there. And now we've been in business for 3 years, coming up in July. That'll be our fourth birthday, which is crazy. But, you know, what started as a hobby is now a full-time job and a, you know, real business with real growth. And it's been awesome to see this organic community we've built.
Yeah. Well, I love this idea of like scratching your own itch. When did it happen where the light bulb went off? You're like, wait a minute, maybe there's more to it. Was it because you're like out and about and people are like, where'd you get that hat? Where'd you get that shirt? Like, what are those things where you're like, okay, these are signals?
Yeah. So the biggest thing was, you know, because like we said, when we first started, it was like, we basically made t-shirts for us and our friends, right? And during that time, you know, our friends were buying to support us, or they thought it was funny, whatever it is. But, you know, they're wearing it out, they're posting it on Instagram, or we're out and about and there's 10 people wearing the same shirt. And it just causes people to go, okay, what's going on here? What is this? So we were obviously getting those encounters and everything ourselves. But it wasn't until we were getting reached out to, like, obviously, you know, a cool moment, a light bulb moment is always when you're on Shopify and you're starting to get you know, names that you're looking through and it's like, there is no connection to us at all. And this person's on the other side of the country. Like this person saw our Instagram, liked the stuff, and that's what it was. But it wasn't until we were starting to get reached out to by people who had purchased that had no affiliation with us at all that were recounting those same things, saying like, I wear this shirt all the time. And every time I wear it, you know, I get compliments, people come up to me and everything like that. So that was kind of the moment where we realized we definitely had something where our vibe and brand, and I keep coming to this back to this word community, but our community that we built, people were feeling that same sense of community that had no affiliation with us or the brand at all. They just purchased and wore it out. And people that, you know, they ran into people that were also wearing it. And the vibe was just there that people were like, you know, it's almost like a badge of honor. Like, I know it, the Fatboy Surf Club, I know it too. Like, it was a cool thing. So I'd say that was kind of the light bulb moment. And then, you know, more recently, as of start of last year, we started doing a lot more in-person events. So up until then, it would all be social media marketing, organic posting and everything, but having pop-ups at events, festivals, stuff like that, people getting to see people's interaction with the brand the first time and having those face-to-face connections and seeing people be like, this is awesome. What is this? That was a very cool light bulb moment as well.
That's very cool. So you had this mob of Fat Boy surfers going around California and people were like, okay, I'm interested in that. So it's like, one, make a product that's naturally viral or talkable or shareable, which if the product's so good, it markets itself, right? So that's like number one. And then I'm interested in these different inflection points of growth because you've got like your friend group and then there's some like ricochet from that. And then you kind of mentioned organic posts and pop-ups, and you're kind of doing this in a scrappy way, it sounds like. What worked or didn't work there? Because I think people listening are super inspired by that, but it's always hard in those next phases. Like, okay, every one of my friend groups into it, what next?
Yeah. No, I think the biggest thing that we did from the beginning is the minute that, you know, anyone reposted us or anyone sent us any photos or anything UGC, we reposted that. Like if you go look at our Instagram, most of the photos on there, like, yeah, we've done a couple photo shoots here and there. And that's to like, you know, so we have photos of the new products. But for the most part, it's all organic people tagging us, people, you know, sending us user generated content. And with that, I think without even knowing it, we started really leaning into that whole idea of micro influencers that everyone's trying to do right now. We just didn't really know that that's what we were doing at the time. We were just reposting our friends. We were reposting like their friends that wore it and stuff like that. But what it really built was, you know, in all of our email messaging after the post purchase and all that, we encourage everyone to share their photos when they get it. If you like the product, tag us in it. We'll be sure to repost you. And what that's created is this, like I talk about the organic, you know, community just kind of reposting and sharing that like, oh, now we have people that are buying and bringing their stuff to like, oh, I'm going on vacation in the summer to go to this island or go here. Or we're like, now we have people bringing their Fat Boy stuff around the world and tagging us in photos from like kind of all over the place. The other thing that we definitely did correct was even at a small, you know, when we were first starting, we didn't cheap out and go for those like, you know, low quality, low cost t-shirts. Like we spent a higher margin and we weren't looking at the bottom line when we first started. We wanted to create a shirt that was comfortable. We used this tri-blend material, which is much more expensive than say a $2 Gildan shirt. Not to, you know, talk poorly about that. But with that, you know, if people bought it as a joke, when they were trying to support us, whatever it was a product that they were like, once they got it in their hand, they're like, this is now my new favorite shirt. And it, you know, what we want is to make sure that when people are buying our stuff, they wear it all the time. Because like you said before, the name is catchy and it is eye-catching. So when people, like our most popular hat is pretty much a walking billboard that just says Fat Boy Surf Club. And people are like, what is that? And then they go find us. So it's been good.
Yeah, the hats are pretty sweet. I have an eye on which one to get. But question, did you ask people to share and tag you, or was that organic or a little bit of both? Where like, hey, this is working. Let's try and like engineer this more. Any color on that? Because everyone knows like the holy grail, if you can get referrals, go and do it. Easier said than done. And you guys have figured it out to some extent.
I think it was a little bit of both. definitely what seemed like a bad time to start a business during COVID was also a great time where everyone at that time was wanting to support small businesses. So, you know, a lot of our messaging and everything, and we are still a small business. Like there's three of us that really do the day-to-day operations. And like when you send us an email or a customer service thing, like I'm the one that does it. Like, yes, could we outsource that? Probably. But like, I do like that one-to-one connection, that community that you built, like I keep talking about, but it's like, we are still a small business. Like we don't shy away from that. We put that in everything that we do. It's like, hey, you're supporting us. We want to help out however we can. But, you know, especially during COVID, during that time, people wanted to support small businesses. So they were happy to repost us. And then obviously, you know, it's Instagram. People like being reposted by brands and things like that. So we repost everyone. We also started what we call the Fat Boy of the Month. So what the rules are is tag us in your stuff. And, you know, what on the Fat Boy of the Month Instagram post, we say like, hey, nominate who you think should be next. Now we have a list of people that we can do. But it like I said, it's created this thing where people now want to tag us and repost us because they want to be Fat Boy of the Month. And it's a great honor. So why would you not want to be?
I think that's a small nuanced thing that's very important is like, oh, and like, nominate who you would want next. So you create this like circular referral going, which is really great. Any tips or advice on how pop-ups work? Because I see this quite a bit where it's, okay, let's do the pop-ups, make money, and then that can fund digital growth. Was that something that's pretty fruitful or how did that go?
Yeah, I mean, we try to do as many pop-ups as possible. We've networked and found a bunch of, you know, whether it be June Shine at their tasting room, which is in Santa Monica, or at other breweries or places where they have these festivals and stuff where maybe it's a small fee for the pop-up. You know, we do some here down locally in Redondo that are like $100 for the day. And it's like, you know, we can spend $100 on ads and we probably will not get the same return that we will on everything like that. But my point of saying that is what we've kind of looked at is it's two buckets where if we're going to be doing it at like a pop-up event or festival or thing like that, that's great for us because there's going to be an audience there that they're in charge of making sure that is there. If we do it at, say, like a brewery or, you know, a restaurant or something like that, there's mutual interest in, you know, having like what they get out of it is a packed bar for the day and us promoting that people are going to be there. What we get out of it is obviously that face-to-face connection. And, you know, being able to put the brand in front of new people. And obviously, as people are having a couple drinks and everything, they're like, yeah, this is fun. I want to support. I'd say with the pop-ups, 100%, they are, we've never gone to one that we haven't said this was not worth it. Because like you said, you're getting in front of a new audience. Digital ads are expensive anyways. Like for the most part, you could probably take whatever day, how much you're going to spend on that day and move it to a pop-up event and you're going to do better ROI-wise. But like I said, people put a face to the name, you get that one-to-one interaction. And I would look at places where the audience is already going to be there and you're paying to pop up in front of that audience, or you're popping up at a place that's a mutual benefit to cross-promote. And therefore, they're probably not going to charge you anything to be there. What you're paying for is making sure that people, like helping them get people in the door.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And that's a great way to be introduced to the brand, which is what I also like about pop-ups. Because like, hey, the founder might be there. You get to meet them at their when they're at this kind of early fun stage. So that's very cool. One thing I've been excited to talk to you about is kind of nerding out on community and even the word club, right? Because you could easily be like, just Fat Boy or Fat Boy Surf brand, right? Or Surf Co. or, you know what I mean? Insert whatever thing you want. Talk to me around this idea of club and building a community.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, I don't think we knew exactly everything that we were doing when we started it, but we definitely, you know, were able to capitalize on once we saw that like this is a real thing. And the idea of the word club is like, our branding and everything, if you look at our About Us, if you look at, you know, our photos and the UGC that we use, everything is built around being inclusive. Like, we're not an LA street apparel brand that, you know, is on exclusivity and the resale market's crazy. It's like, we put out stuff that we want people to buy and we want them to wear it. And I do think that's a portion of why, you know, we still do a lot of the little things like, yes, could we outsource the customer service? 100%. But I get to now talk like one-to-one with our customers and everything like that. So we want, when you purchase from us, for it to feel like you're actually joining, you know, a club, a community. And one of the coolest things, and we kind of touched on it before, is that is the coolest thing when people tell us that is like, was at the bar, saw another guy wearing Fat Boy, and then we hung out for like, and like they become friends, or like they hung out for the night and had a beer together, or whatever it is. Like, that's cool. Like, that's fun. Where it's like, I wouldn't go to like, you know, if someone's wearing some other kind of brand, I wouldn't be like, hey, that's a cool shirt. And then expect them to actually be like, hey, dude, can you get away from me? Like, what are you talking about? So I think the biggest thing that's helped us do that is this whole not shying away from the fact that we are a small business and try to have as much one-to-one customer interaction as we can, promoting our own customers that have organically bought from us, whether it be through UGC or reposting them, everything like that. Because what it's done is people are now following our journey that have been there from the beginning, or they're like, you know, they get put onto it by a friend. They're like, this is cool. And then now they're rooting, they're actively like rooting for us and helping us out. And you hear it all the time of people that are, you know, someone will come up to them and say, I like that shirt. And they tell them exactly where to get them instead of just saying, hey, thanks. It's like, hey, yeah, you should support these guys. Go purchase. Here's how you do it. So I think a long-winded answer to say, you know, without this community that we've built, there definitely wouldn't be this big organic, you know, growth that we've had. Like, yes, do we spend money on paid ads? Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of that is more of, hey, I've seen my friend wearing this, or I've seen this person, you know, I've seen someone out wearing this, and then you get hit with it a second or a third time, and then that's what causes the purchase.
So you're doing this, you're launching this, it starts to get traction. Obviously, you're kind of in between things. Talk about your mindset. Is this goes from kind of a joke to a side thing. So when did you decide to go all in on this? And how did you think through that?
It's definitely a lot more stressful, but it's fun. It's cool. Like, I like doing this. Like, every day, am I working more now than I was when I worked for someone else? Probably. But it's stuff that I like to do. And it's like, I'm passionate about it. Whereas like before, was I doing my job? Yeah, of course. Was I passionate about it? Absolutely not. Like, so
right.
It's one of those things where I started to realize, you know, as we started to grow and you have those light bulb moments and everything like that, this is where I want to spend my time. I'm spending more time on it. Let's go for it, because they're like, the mindset shifts. It's not just a hobby. It's not just a side hustle anymore. It's like, I need to do this stuff because I want to continue growing this brand.
No, that's amazing, man. You get traction, you go all in on it. It's like, this is a reversible thing. It's like, you can always shut it down and go get a job, and you're actually probably going to be even more marketable because of what you learn from it, which I think a lot of people don't even really think through that. They look at the opportunity costs a little bit more narrow-minded. So as you look to grow, what have you been thinking through? Because with bootstrap business owners, you know, you make money. It's like, okay, I could reinvest in inventory. I can reinvest in ads. I can go buy myself some fancy. Like, talk to me around your mindset is like, how are you all growing and how are you thinking through investing in growth? Is it like, do it through paid or through other channels?
Yeah. So I think, you know, what we'd like to start doing now is obviously right now our main source of marketing is paid advertising through like, you know, Instagram and Facebook and all that, which has been successful for us. I think now we've been doing it for a little while where, you know, there is a little bit of diminishing returns where you're hitting the same people over and over again. And, you know, their algorithm changes. Everything changes where it's getting more expensive, right? And I think that's why you see people moving into this micro influencer, influencer route as well. Cause it's like, if I'm going to spend, you know, X amount on paid ads for this month, what if I took a chunk of that and paid, you know, X amount of influencers and everything? So we've been lucky enough that we've had some kind of bigger names, some NFL players, stuff like that, buy our stuff organically. We noticed the name and then started sending them stuff, or like we'll reach out to people and send them stuff, you know, as an exchange. But I think it's kind of looking at that a little bit more, and whether that is, you know, we whatever we do in the influencer space, we want it to be organic. Like, we're not just going to go find someone and be able to pay them to wear our stuff and see what that, it's like, we're going to work within our community that we built And, you know, maybe there's some opportunities for our current customer base where it's like, hey, you know, we're going to pay you X amount to get us, you know, X, Y, and Z content and everything like that. But as we continue to grow, I'd really like to lean into this community and club aspect a little bit more where, you know, maybe we've had pop-up events and it's always like we're selling stuff, but, you know, that's limited to Southern California where we're based. We have customers all over the US and, you know, globally as well as at this point, not as many, but it is cool to see those orders come in. But like we have a ton of East Coast customers. We have a ton in Austin, in Chicago. You know, what is a Fat Boy Surf Club event look like in those areas that maybe we don't have as much merch? Maybe we can ship some stuff over there. But what does that look like? Because at the end of the day, we want to have more of these events. So when you are purchasing and everything and you're starting to follow us on Instagram and getting our emails and all that, you are part of a club that, you know, there's things that you get access to, whether it be an event, whether it be, you know, who knows. But, you know, a big thing of that is to, from the beginning, we started donating to the Save the Manatee Foundation. It's pretty much our mascot there.
That's awesome.
You know, back in the day, we saw that Jimmy Buffett was the spokesperson for the Save the Manatee Foundation, and our original shirt has a manatee on it. So we're like, this makes perfect sense. So maybe that's how these events look. Maybe it is tying it into a more charitable thing where it's like, hey, you know, beach cleanups, whether it be bar takeovers or whatever it is. And it's like a portion of these proceeds are going to the Save the Manatee Foundation. Or we've done something with 4Ocean, which like removes trash from our rivers and coastlines. So we've done stuff with them. So maybe it's tying in a more charitable aspect. But, you know, from customer feedback and everything like that is a part that people really care about, is that we do donate a portion of proceeds. So, you know, leaning into that with these events could be kind of where we are able to do more in other parts of the country, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a great way to think through introducing the brand to other customers or regions, yeah. Especially having that alignment with organizations or people. And so as I look at the website, I mean, you guys have really broken out a lot of SKUs and products. I love what you guys are doing with bundles and like the mystery pack, because for people listening, to run ads really well, you want to have a decent average order value. Because some of these single products that they're selling, it's like $37 or $80. But if you get that average order value to over 100, it looks really nice. Can you talk through like any thought you have between products for new customer acquisition, like whether it's the flagship product or pushing people to bundles?
Yeah. So I think what we learned last year is we started to get this really big explosive growth at the beginning of the year. And, you know, we were running ads at the time. And we were getting great return on ad spend, and you know, we're able to put out new products, and we were able to have this story to tell, right? Like, hey, we got this new collection, we have this coming out, and like we had all this stuff that was like boom, 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 new things. And like, so it caused, and I think it took us time to realize this, like we just thought this was because the ads were ripping, everything was going well, but it's like we had new messaging and new things. So even if you're hitting the same people again, there's a new story to tell. There's new things going on, keeping people coming back to the website and everything like that. When it got to Q4, we kind of relied on, hey, these have been our best sellers for the whole year. We got to restock these for the holiday season. Like these are going to go crazy. So we spent a lot of our, you know, resource and capital on restocking old SKUs. And thinking through that, the idea was that why are we going to put out new stuff and then have to heavily discount it over the holidays? But what that caused is we're still spending money on ads. We're still sending out emails to our same customer base that have already bought these or they've already seen them.
Right. So
like, yeah. What is the new story to tell? So I think what we learned of having a full year of taking this as a serious business and learning all that is that, yeah, we need to make sure that we are constantly thinking through the new product development and new designs. And what is the reason that you're touching these people? Like if you're just showing them the same, hey, we've got this same blue manatee shirt that we've had for 4 years.
Don't you need five of them? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you need more of these? Exactly. So I think that's what we learned is like, okay, if we're in a situation where we've, you know, restocked a lot of stuff that has already been looked at, and it's falling on deaf ears because it's hitting the same people with the same ads and everything. What can we do to spice up the inventory that we have? And that's with the mystery boxes, that's with bundles. And like you said before, it also brings up the average order value where, you know, we're spending money on paid ads. If someone comes in and buys just like a $29 hat, after you look at the cost of the product, shipping, ads, everything like that, it's like, it's great to get a new customer in the door, but do we really make much off that? Not really. It's like, but if you can get that same person to get a discounted hat, t-shirt, and hoodie when they purchase more, that's going to bring up that average order value and make that new customer worth more. And then it's up to us to nurture that relationship and put out new products and everything, so the lifetime value of that customer increases and we're not relying on just the expensive buying new customers every day.
No, that's smart. And I like the different like variations you do of the logo and the brand and the manatee logo and the kind of chubby dude on the surfboard. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I'm also interested, so many Shopify D2C brands, you know, you have to be really good at making this content machine, whether it's for your ads or for your Instagram. I really think everybody should go to the Fat Boy Surf Club Instagram, look at the tag content, look at the actual content, because you do a great job of showing product shots, but then there's like lifestyle, there's meme. Talk to me, we can, as nerdy as you want to get, like, what's the thought process behind the content machine to make all that? Do you just like have a bunch of coffee on a Sunday and bang out content for the week? Do you outsource that? Do you have people helping you? Like, how do you keep the machine going?
So it's one of the hardest parts of the job. It's one of the most exhausting parts. Like, and it's always like you get different advice from different people too. Like, you need to be posting every single day. Like, no, a couple times a week is fine. Like, you need to be doing this. And it's like, what we kind of figured is getting back to like who we are, which is like the organic of just like, yeah, we use our Instagram to obviously announce things like pop-up events and new products and stuff like that. So we'll hire, you know, we've got a buddy that does photography. We'll spend a day, we'll bring new products down to the beach or whatever it is. The nice part is our brand is built on, you know, surfing, going to the beach and eating and drinking afterwards. So it's like the content shoots, you can usually get people to come down and be like, hey, we'll buy you a couple beers if you just wear some shirts and take some photos kind of thing.
Yeah.
But because of that, like most of our UGC and everything is people that, you know, went to Hawaii and they brought their shirts and they sent us photos. And like, that's kind of what we use. But it's like long-winded to say, yes, we've outsourced some photo shoots and everything so that we have photos of the product so that we can promote it when we have new drops and stuff like that. But the rest of it is all like, hey, that person sent us a cool photo. We're going to repost that, or we're going to post that and tag them. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's who we are. It's like, we want to showcase our community and stuff like that. We don't care as much about when you talk to social media, people are like, well, you need to have a brand aesthetic for when you come to your page, and everything needs to be curated by like this photo needs to be in front of this one. Like, they're looking at the full grid view. We're looking at it as like, hey, this is who we are. These are our people. This is us. Like, we like this photo, so we're going to repost it. We have this new product, so we're going to, you know, get content of that product and repost it. But as we get larger and larger and have more and more, you know, new products and everything like that, yes, it is something that the content machine is exhausting. And it's something that, you know, we need to outsource and have new things. Because, you know, I wouldn't say that any of our, you know, three guys here are the biggest TikTok guys or biggest TikTok stars. So like, that's something that we're going to need out there. But, you know, I think mobilizing your current customer base to help you with, you know, the content, getting photos, tagging you and stuff and everything, like, that can relieve a lot of stress of having to get that constant content coming in. But it also works as like, that's what people are paying micro influencers to do. So if you have, you know, loyal customers that come back and purchase and like reward them for tagging you, like give them a discount, send them a free hat, like do that kind of stuff to, you know, one, help get you new content, but two, keep them posting again, because it's just getting in front of more eyeballs that you're not having to pay paid ads to do it.
Totally agree. Well, you know, I like the advice is sometimes kind of just simple. It's like, what is true to you guys? What's authentic? And let's do that and do it really well. Cause I think it's very easy for us to overthink these things. I'm so guilty of that.
Yeah.
I think people listening, like, it's so funny. This joke turn is something very real. Can you give people some perspective on like where you're at now and what are you looking towards? Like, what's the next milestone or goal you're going after?
Yeah. So when we moved and started doing paid ads from the late 2022 to 2023, like between 2022 and 2023, I think we grew over like 370% or something. Like we, I think, eclipsed 570K in revenue last year. We want to get to that next milestone of a million in a year, a million point two, whatever that is. And, you know, I think there's two separate ways of looking at it is continue to build that customer base and continue to put out good products and have events that keep your current customer base with you and rooting for you and all through all that. But yeah, I'd say as we continue to grow, a big thing that we're also wanting to make sure is that we stay authentic to who we are. Like it's very easy for now when, as we're growing, people reaching out and be like, we can run this for you. We can do this for you. But it's like, if they don't understand the vibe and the brand that we are, you're not going to get organic content from us. You're not going to get what we've built. So that's a huge goal, I guess, but it's a huge thing that we want to make sure as we continue to grow, we continue to nurture that authenticity and everything like that. But we're looking to double or triple what we did this year again. We just opened in a bunch of surf shops on the East Coast. We're looking to continue to open up on the West Coast, get that wholesale orders coming in as well. But yeah, continue to build on the brand that we've built. The direct-to-consumer e-commerce stuff is always going to be our bread and butter. So we want to make sure that we're putting out new good products that are going to help us build on and get to that 1.2 million and then beyond that. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
That's cool, man. Well, you guys clearly have an amazing foundation for that. So if you were starting all over again, or like building another brand from scratch tomorrow, what advice would you give yourself? Or what advice would you give to someone that was just about to go down this path?
Yeah, definitely from the beginning. You can't be looking at it from the beginning as like, oh, I'm going to buy $500 worth of shirts. And with that, I'm going to make this much money. And that's going to be like the money that you're going to make from anything that you do at the beginning. One is going to have to go back into the business. Everything has to go back into the business. But also two, you want to make sure that you're not cutting any corners or skimping on quality, because at the end of the day, you want to make sure that when you get someone to make that first purchase, whether that's going to be, you know, from someone who just supports you or a friend of a friend, if that first item, that first touch point that they get with your company is not good quality stuff, one, they're not going to wear it. And you want to build this organic growth here. And if the person's purchasing is not going to wear it, they're not walking around showcasing the product on your behalf, no one's seeing it, you're not getting content, you're not getting any of that. And then what we found is like people came back to buy a second or a third because they love that shirt so much because of all that. So I'd say do not skimp on the quality from the beginning. Nurture some sort of organic community as best as you can. You know, go above and beyond for these people that are, you know, supporting you from the beginning. And then as you continue to grow, try to make sure that everyone that does purchase feels that same way, that they're supporting you from the beginning kind of thing. So that's kind of what I would say. And then obviously, as you continue to grow organically, don't bite off more than you can chew when it comes to paid ads from the beginning. You're going to get a lot of people reaching out to you that are like, we can run your ads for X amount a month and then we can get you 5 times return on ad spend or whatever it is. There's nothing that guarantees that. So what you can do organically is always going to be the best approach.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of people will take your money in exchange for promises. Very cool. And then last question I love to ask is, what's the nicest thing anyone's done for you in your professional career? Could be during Fat Boy or even leading up to it.
I mean, I had a buddy I went to college with that when we first started making the Instagram, like if you go back all the way to the beginning of the Instagram, we didn't even know what Fat Boy Surf Club was going to be. We just made the joke and thought it was funny. And like the first couple Instagram posts are like us shirtless eating burritos or something like that. Like it's there's nothing that has to do with the brand yet. But a friend from college, his name is Wes, he was working for a water polo company that did all the apparel for like college teams and club teams and stuff like that. So he was the one that would order the shirts, send them to a printer and get them made. Because of COVID, there was no, you know, organized sports going on. So no one was placing any orders or anything. He reached out to us. He's like, I'm bored. I know how to make shirts for you guys. Like, and because we were friends, it's like, remember those, you know, tri-blend shirts that we had our senior year of water polo? Like we should do it on those. And that without that, like realistically, we probably never make t-shirts. We probably never. And like this was a joke that lasted for 2 weeks and we started an Instagram and that was it. So I would say Wes looking at that and seeing that we had the logo and we had, you know, the funny content coming out, he's like, let's make t-shirts. I will show you how to do it. Without him showing us how to do it, I don't think we ever do it.
That's awesome, man. That's pretty funny. Well, cool. Well, where should we point people if they want to follow you, if they want to follow Fat Boy, where can they learn more?
Yeah, our Instagram is Fat Boy Surf Club, just all lowercase, no spaces, everything like that. Our website is just fatboysurfclub.com. We've got everything from our About Us to our adopted manatees on there. We've got it all. So come check us out. Like I said, Instagram and website is our main source. You can sign up for the email list there, get first to know when we have new products, new things coming out. So yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, check it out, guys. Summer is coming. You're going to need something that's Instagrammable. And yeah, and like from the, I'm out here in Seattle, you need a really good hooded sweatshirt. So that is like a must. The hats are sweet. So check them out. But
you got along. Summer's right around the corner. Don't wait. Don't wait.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll give a few plugs. First, I send a weekly newsletter each Thursday featuring 5 articles or tools that have helped me. You can sign up for these weekly updates at jimwhuffman.com. Second, for anyone running a startup, if you need help growing your business, check out Growth Hit. Growth Hit serves as your external growth team. After working with over 100 startups and generating $250 million in sales for clients, Growth Hit has perfected a growth process that's hell-bent on driving ROI through rapid experiments. Plus, you'll get to work with yours truly. So if you want to work with a team that's worked with startups that have been funded by Andreessen Horowitz or featured on Shark Tank, then check out growthhit.com. And finally, I wrote a book called The Growth Marketer's Playbook that takes everything I've learned as a growth mentor for venture-backed startups, and I've distilled it down to 140 pages. So instead of hiring a growth team, save yourself some money, get the book, and you can just do it yourself. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'd love to hear feedback. I'm on Twitter at Jim W. Huffman. Are you a business owner in desperate need of talent, but you have issues finding good people? Or worse, you find the talent, but then they want you to pay them double what you have budgeted. Yeah, I know the feeling. This is where Remotely Talents can help. Imagine having a personal HR team that finds you A-plus talent, and here's the best part. It costs you 40 or even 80% less than US employees. It's magic. So let's say you need help with setting up your social ads, your Google ads, email marketing, website development, customer service. Their team sources the top Ukrainian talent for you, and they deliver 3 top vetted candidates straight to your inbox. It's a one-time payment, and best yet, they give you a 60-day guarantee to ensure you're happy. Hey, if it doesn't work out, they'll find and replace the talent for free. Even better, 3% of all sales go to the Children's Hospital in Ukraine. At Growth Hit, our agency, we've hired 4 people from Ukraine. I am blown away by the level of work we're getting. So whether you need a virtual assistant or a creative director, give this a try. Go to remotelytalents.com right now and start a conversation. See if they can help you. You really have nothing to lose.